Welcome to Frustrated and Exhausted, the podcast for women in leadership, where I help you fulfill your ambitions without sacrificing your sanity or your resilience. Welcome to this week's episode of Frustrated and Exhausted. This week I am joined by Caroline Bernard, who is a senior leader in the charity sector. She is currently the Director of Influence at Respect UK, which is a charity working to end domestic abuse by stopping perpetrators. She's also a board member of the Enfield Carers Centre and she's a past trustee of the Fawcett Society. So really interested in women's rights and human rights generally. Caroline has had a really interesting career. She's learned a heck of a lot from it and she's going to share that with us today. So join me for a really fascinating conversation. Hi, Caroline. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Just to kind of get us kind of into things, could you tell us a little bit about sort of where you grew up and how that's kind of impacted who you've become?
Well, thanks, Ruth, for the invitation to join this podcast. It's really exciting to be here. I was born and grew up in North London. And I still live in North London, but I live further north than I did, where I grew up. So I grew up in a place called Islington, but I lived in the northern part of Islington, sort of Holloway Archway area. It was and still is in some areas a working class area, and although it's gentrified quite a bit since I was living there, I think it, in terms of how it shaped me, I think it really kept me and my siblings really on the ground. We, lived in an area that had quite a mixed type of diverse community. So we were living with people from all over the world. So we were able to access food and everything from all over the place, really. So that was a really nice thing about where we grew up. And I think that kind of has shaped me in terms of who I am. I like living in diverse areas. I like living with people who are from different walks of life in different parts of the world. And so much so that I think it's something I look for whenever I look to move, is where I'm going to be, so that there's that diversity in the area that I'm living in. So yeah, I think that's how it shaped me as a person.
Lovely. Who for you has been the most influential person in your life and how have they impacted you and the path that you've taken?
I think the person, I would say my mother, she's no longer with us, but I think my mother was a very resourceful woman. She faced domestic abuse herself and she was the one who got us out of it. She was able to very strongly, take us all out of that house one day and didn't go back. She was able to kind of get us out of there. So I think in terms of that resourcefulness and resilience, I would look up to mum as being my inspiration. I mean, at work, there's been several people at work, but I've had mentors over the years who've seen, something that I don't see myself and pushed me forward and helped me to apply for jobs that I wouldn't normally have applied for. One of them is no longer with us as well, Pappy Alexander. She was someone I worked with when I worked in the health world, and she was someone said to me, you'll be a really good role model if you go for that job. And so in terms of work, I would say Catherine would be my biggest inspiration. Again, I missed her a lot as well.
What was that like to see suddenly yourself as a role model? To have someone say to you, well, you are now a role model.
That was strange because I was in the middle of a career change at the time. I was not in any way, shape or form senior. I was in a very junior role. I was temping, first of all, because I had changed career. I was not young. I was in my mid-30s then. So I think that I was at a point where leadership was beckoning, but I hadn't seen it in myself. And I think it did feel strange. I didn't see myself at all as a role model or any kind of leader. But I think from then, having that inspiration given to me, I began to think that maybe, I could maybe support other people who were also wanting to change career direction and also wanting to kind of re-establish themselves in that new career. So it felt odd, it felt strange, and I resisted it for a long time. But as time went on, I began to embrace it a bit more.
What have been the rewards of embracing it and kind of leaning into that potential?
I think it's always about for me what I can do for other people. I'm really interested in mentoring and supporting other women in particular who are, facing challenges in their career, or even if they're not, even if they're just trying to move ahead in their career, just want to know how they can do that. I don't have all the answers, but I can give them the benefit of my own experience and my own pitfalls and things where things have gone well and not so well. And I think that I get that pleasure from seeing them progress and move forward, not because of anything I've done, they did it themselves, but to give them, help them by giving them some tools by which they can move forward is something that I feel really happy to ever be able to do.
Yeah, it's really rewarding, isn't it?
It is.
You mentioned there that your career changed direction at a particular point. What was going on there? What sort of drew you to a different path?
I think it was realizing that I was in a job and been in a job for 16 years in a type of work for 16 years. It didn't really suit my personality. I'd kind of fallen into it after going to college, and what I thought was right for me ended up not being right for me. So I was doing this type of work. I was working in the private sector in an industrial type of organization, but working in a sort of sales and marketing type role and sort of a coordinating production type role for many years. But I really felt that it wasn't me. The environment didn't suit me. The people I'd worked with were not my people, really. There's a friend I still talk to from there. They weren't all bad, but I'm just saying that it was not suited my personality and to my interests and to my passion and drive for wanting to make some kind of changes to people who needed support and provide mechanisms for them to get support when they need them, particularly on health and social care at the time, having had a mother who works in social care for the latter part of her life at work. So I think for me it was something about recognizing that I wasn't really fitting in and wasn't cut out for where I was working. So when I got made redundant, when M&S, who were the supplier we were working for, decided to cut a few suppliers, and we were one of them, I was studying part-time anyway, changed career. So I just thought, okay, here's now's time to make the change and move forward on carry on studying, and I went temping and ended up in the roles that I was in until I got to the role I'm in now. So I think it's something about recognizing I was a square peg in a round hole, and when the chance came along to change that, to grab that change, a lot of sacrifice had to happen, of course, but you have to do that in order to make it work.
What drove you at that point? Because it's hard to make those sorts of decisions in the moment, and especially around redundancy, that can be a time of kind of real fear and worry. And what was it within you that made you grab that opportunity when it came up and see it in that way?
It's really hard to say, because I went out temping back in those days. This was in 2000. Back in those days, you could just walk into an agency, and you could just do all of your different type tests of your skills, your kind of office skills, as it were, and then go out working. So my plan then was to just go out and work because I needed to pay the bills. So I was had a mortgage at this point, so I wanted to go out and pay the bills. So I went out temping, not thinking it would lead to a career change as such. I thought it would be about just keeping things going. But it was kind of the second or third temping job that I had that ended up being the one that was the springboard to the new career. And I hadn't expected that. So in terms of what drove me, I think what drove me was the desire to keep working. And nothing I've always done in my career when I've had setbacks and redundancy, which happens a lot when you're in charity world, is just to keep working and just to be able to move forward, do something in the meantime, keep things going, and then use it as a springboard for the next thing. So my drive was to kind of keep working. And then the luck of the draw came that I was able to land up in NHS London region, and that was where I was able to move forward from to a new career direction. So yeah, that was my drive.
Where do you think the lessons you learned from your mum kind of played into that?
I think it's the resilience bit, the not giving up piece as well, and thirdly, to always see a problem as one that has to be worked out or gotten around, rather than just accepting that's everything's lost. There's always something you can do to make things better. And it may not happen immediately. You may have to take a step forward or back or even sideways, but you can actually get to where you want to be. And I think the other thing about that for my mom was that finding Finding work that fits who you are and fits what you are passionate about is really key. She did that. She was working one type of work, and then when she left, and when we moved out and we go home, then she was able to kind of find herself and be in the work that really was passionate for her. So I think it's something about finding your passions, which we don't always do. I think when we're 18, we don't always know what those passions are, do we? We're lucky enough to have that. Then yeah, great, but not all of us have that when we're 18. So it could take a while of growing into yourself to find out what your passions are, and then you can go for them.
I think that is such a great point. I didn't have a clue I wanted to do when I was 18. And to be honest with you, I went right through uni and all sorts of stuff and still didn't really know. But it was learning what I was capable of. I think partly, testing myself a little bit in different environments and figuring out eventually kind of what was really of interest. And that changed a little bit over time as well. And that's partly me changing, but getting to know myself better as well.
Because I think at school, when we were at school, I don't know how it is now, but I know when I was at school and we had these careers teachers who would try and push you into the hole they thought you should fit into, which was usually quite low expectations and stuff like that. So you had to rely on these who you looked up to as experts to drive you to where they thought you should be. I would love to be a careers teacher, actually. So I would love to be able to do it now and tell the young people I work with now, actually, you've got to work to your strengths. What are you really good at? What do you love? What are you passionate about? And working out from there. I think that back in the day when I was at school in the sort of 70s and 80s, there wasn't the knowledge, I think, in the careers teachers world, well, not to what I saw, in terms of the range of careers you could do and the types of roles you were out there. It was very much in boxes and very traditional. I think because the world moved on now and technology's moved on, I hope that now the advice the young people are getting is a lot broader than the advice we got when I was at school.
I recognize that actually from my own experience that there were particular career paths that were encouraged depending on kind of, where you came from and your background as well, I think. You mentioned there expectations and other people's expectations. How have other people's expectations impacted you?
Quite a lot, I think. And going back to school, right up to now, it never really ends. I don't think it ends when career. But there's something about people making assumptions about what you are capable of, or what you have done, what you bring, all those things. And it's that constant. I mean, the title of your podcast, the frustrated and exhausted piece, is that's where you get frustrated and exhausted, because you have to constantly assert your experience and skills and knowledge and understanding of things in a way that maybe others wouldn't have to do. So yeah, that's a challenge. I think that you have to battle that. But it certainly impacted me throughout my whole life, because I've had to really push and think about how I can assert myself in a way that's positive and doesn't come over as aggressive or angry. Because sometimes when you do that, asserting, it may be taken in the wrong way by certain individuals. So I think it's something about having to have constantly managed that throughout my whole career and life as well. But it's something that I think many women would say, wherever they come from, would say happens to them.
Yeah, I definitely recognize those words of that aggressive and angry rather than assertive is kind of a common one to come up, isn't it? And it's a really fine tightrope almost that to walk, which is not easy. And yeah, it does explain why we get frustrated and exhausted all the time. Where does that desire to keep pushing come from in you?
Gosh, I think again, I'm going back to resilience again, but I think it's that not giving up. And I don't think I would ever frame it as not giving up until I'm asked about it, like I have been just now. I think it's something that you don't think about, you just do it. But other people will tell you that you behave in that way, but you just see yourself as just pushing and driving. And because, someone once said to me many years ago, someone I work with, she said, ultimately, we only have ourselves to rely on. We can't rely on anybody else. We have to rely on ourselves. doesn't matter who people around you, ultimately we are there for ourselves in terms of that self-reliance. So I think it's something for me about recognizing that I haven't had myself to rely on really. And if I don't do it and get things done and change things, then nobody else is going to do it for me. And that's what I think that is for.
That's a real sense of personal responsibility, actually, for your choices and for the path that you choose to walk, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because if you take a different path or a path that's not right for you, then that was the choice I made at the time based on what information I had around me at that time. But as you get more information, as you go through life, you can say, okay, I've got more choices now. I can do different things. And yeah, might have sacrificed X or Y, but I will do that. And I will accept that sacrifice and try and have as much as I can. But I think it's something about recognizing as you go through life, you're gathering more information and more knowledge and more understanding. And that takes you forward into those new directions if you want to go into new directions.
I'm noticing sitting behind you that there's a little phrase on a board that says, "Remember, there are no mistakes, only lessons," which is wonderful. What's been your biggest lesson, you know, in life, in leadership? What's been your biggest lesson?
Yeah, that motto is really important. I put it up there so that people can see what I'm all about, really. I think often we do get caught up in things going wrong and this went wrong, that went wrong. And I think sometimes it's something about recognizing what you can draw from when things didn't quite go quite as you thought they would go.
Yeah.
I think in terms of lessons and how I've learned lessons over the years, I've tried, and I'm guilty as an ex-person of dwelling on things, or well, I don't dwell on it, but I know why I often do dwell on things and think it didn't go so well. But what you've got to do is then think it through and try and turn it around a little bit and say, actually, that pathway that I ended up on, or that thing that happened, was for a reason. I think everything, good, bad, or indifferent, happens for a reason. There's something you have to learn from it and take from it. And that's why I had that motto, and that's why I believe that we have to try and take every experience that we have through life, whatever it may be, and think about why that happened. What was the learning I had to gain from that thing happening to me or to somebody close to me? You know, what's the learning? And try and draw on that, because that's what will keep us afloat and stop us from going down a spiral of self-hatred and blame and self-flagellation, which we often do, especially as women.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of guilt and shame, I think, that is carried by women and sometimes put onto us by others, rather than it being something that we've done. You know, there's clearly been a lot of challenges. You've talked about redundancy. You've talked about kind of the fluid nature of the charity sector at times in terms of careers and things. And you talked about how you choose to navigate some of that. What do you think is your biggest strength that you bring that's enabling you to get through all of this and stay positive?
I mean, I have my negative moments too. I'm not gonna lie. I do have times, but I do feel down as well. But on the whole, I do try and be positive. Bigger strength, goodness me, I think it's probably something to do with having a little bit of self-belief. I never used to have that. I didn't have that always, but I think it's something about having that deep sense of belief that things can get better, and just really owning the feelings I've got, or owning the situation I've found myself in, where it has been, where things have not continued. There's been a, you know, contrast come to an end, and then the funding will move on, and that sort of stuff. But I think it's something about saying, okay, you know, that was that, move on, move forward. So I think it's something about having a bit of self-belief that things are going to improve and that things are going to get better. And I think, again, it's about that, taking the learning from that situation and taking it on to the next situation and taking it forward from there. And then seeing where you come. I think often that there's a bit about the journey, the kind of phrase of the journey. And if you look back at your journey and see how far you traveled, say, actually, I didn't do too badly, even though I faced these bumps on the road, I came out the other side. So then you can see where your inner strength has taken you through. So I think that's what I would say is what's giving me a strength is probably just having a bit of self-belief.
It's lovely, because I think it's something we don't often do, actually, is pause and It's easy to get into the self-flagellation or, focus on the difficulties, but actually appreciating how far you've come, appreciating yourself for getting there and getting through everything as well.
When you hear people that you admire in the public eye talking about these journeys they've been on and where they've come from, like, oh, say Viola Davis is one of my big heroes. Her story, if you've ever read her book, or is just amazing. I mean, obviously I'm not her, but the way what she has done in terms of finding her talent and being able to pursue the talent with everything happened in her childhood is so inspirational. So I think one thing I always do is look at people like her that I'm inspired by, and yeah, you think, well, I look up to them as beacons of success and drawing their life decision because they inspire me every day. People that know them, just people that you see in public eye, it inspire me every day.
You mentioned there sort of inspiration and success. What does success mean to you?
I think it is fulfilling yourself and achieving the ambitions that you want to achieve, no matter what they are, because they don't have to be all about money and big jobs. And it's not about that. It's about you fulfilling yourself so that you're doing meaningful work, mothering, volunteering, whatever it is in your life that you're doing, that fulfills you, that you achieve that success. And it's not all about work, it's about every aspect about you. That's what, for me, success is all about. It's about fulfilling your goals, whatever they may be.
For you personally, what makes you successful?
Gosh, I don't know if I am yet. I've had some level of success. I think if I was going to focus on one successful thing about the career change and doing that, for me, it's something about having had the tenacity to go through what I had to go through to change career. I 5 years of part-time, well, 7 years of part-time studying, whilst working a full-time job. That's probably my biggest success in life, I think, because I was able to really make a complete turnaround in terms of work from that. And that's led to all sorts of interesting things and a lifestyle that I didn't think I would even have. So I think something about success for me is something about having done that piece of quite focused work to change my career direction.
It's focused work, and it's focused work that I guess took courage as well to make the choice to do that and to be looking, to be actively looking for the opportunities.
I found that I had to. I think I came to a brick wall, really, work-wise, and I realized I had to do that in order to move forward. It wasn't going to happen unless I made that sacrifice and did that work. But because I was a mature student, because I wanted it, I would say mature students are quite a special breed because we knew what we wanted and we were willing to sacrifice to get that thing and juggle all of our lives' priorities and things we had to do to get that. So I think there's something about, you really want it. Nothing against younger students, they obviously want it as well. But I think when you are older and having to study and work and everything else and manage family and everything, it shows a different level of desire that you don't always have when you're younger. So I think there's something that's quite key about that. So anybody thinking about going back to college, even doing a PhD later in life, I say just go for it because that means you are passionate about that particular subject and you want to spend time, a lot of time working on that. So if you can, then I think you should do it.
It's investing in yourself and, like you said earlier, your own passions and kind of fulfilling those in your life. We've talked a lot about positivity and kind of really growing as a person and learning from your experiences and things. But you kind of said earlier, we all have those moments of self-doubt and worry and the kind of down days, and we do all get them. What do you do when you're in that place to get out of it?
I try and engage in a bit of escapism sometimes. Like I might go for a walk and listen to a book, or I'll go to the gym and listen to music and exercise, or I'll, read a book that's sort of about one of those self-help books that some people like to read as well. There's usual tools and tips in there. So range of things, but I think sometimes it's about diverting your mind to what's going on in something else. But if you're going to face the thing directly, which you probably need to do at some point after you've done all those distracting things, is probably what I would do is probably think through what actions I'm going to take to try to address that situation. So once I've thought through those things, just go back and try to put at least one thing into action. And that's never easy because sometimes those things can be very, very challenging, and you may find that you have to take some steps back and look at it from a distance before you do that. But I think there's something important about, for me, about trying to address that situation through maybe one key action to start with and then go from there. It may not always work, but at least you've thought it through, and if I think it's through, then I can try and approach it in a measured way. But yeah, the down days, I think, is often, it's good to have lots of different things to distract you if you need to take yourself away from something for a while.
It sometimes really helps to find perspective, actually, to change. I mean, physically, even just to change state, to change what you're doing, and to, like you
Yeah.
said, some of the things you do, you move, or you kind of look for sort of some inspiration from elsewhere to kind of think differently again.
Yeah, it's changing your attitude to the issue. That's what I've read that somewhere and heard it said. You change your attitude to the issue, but it helps with the issue, I think. Because it
It's.
seems small, it makes it so much smaller than you think it may be.
Yeah.
Because I'm a great worrier. I can worry till cows come home, you know. A terrible overthinker, you know. I admit all of that. So that's when the things end up being this big mountain that actually is not really as bad as you think it is. So I know I'm guilty of that.
I think many of us are at different points with different things, isn't it? It's that little step back and kind of reassessing and looking at it. And I love that what you said about kind of just finding one thing that you can do, because action, creating some momentum around something in some way can be such a great thing for getting unstuck and kind of finding something, a different way to approach things. Just to kind of round us off, thinking about all your lessons, everything we've talked about today, the experiences that you have and that you've learned along the way, what advice do you have for women starting out now?
I would say it's something about really play to your strengths. Find out, you know, ask yourself what it is you love and are passionate about, because that's where you need to be, you know, putting your energies if you, into your work if you're working outside the home. So that's the thing I say is, no, start where you are, think about your passions and try and drive and find work that is work you were born to do and that's what you want to do. Don't let the naysayers get you down, because there will be somebody always who will try to say, no, you can't. Try to listen. Believe in yourself and say, yes, I can and I will. I did too much listening to naysayers when I was younger, but I thought they were wiser than me. So I now know that that's not always the case. So do listen to your own voice inside. And don't be afraid to seek advice from others who may be able to give you that advice. It may not be the obvious people. It may not be your teachers at school or your university or wherever. It may be somebody completely outside of all of that who is the person who may be able to give you the advice that you're looking for. Yeah, just once you've found that direction, find ways of going for it. And if you haven't found that direction yet, it will happen. Don't feel that everything's lost. You can find your direction when you least expect it. Sometimes they will be presented to you, and you will find that it's where you need to be.
Caroline, thank you so much for this conversation. I've really loved it, and there is so much great advice in there for people kind of coming through and so much to learn from. So thank you again for sharing with us.
I took so much out of that conversation with Caroline. I think one of the big things for me was what she said around actually learning what your own passions and strengths are, and then really following them and making sure that you're in a role where you can play into those things and really feel that sense of purpose. and feeling committed to what you're doing. And, you know, that sense of personal responsibility for the choices that you make and being committed to making the changes that you want. I really found that quite important. The other thing that came across to me was, again, just this sense of learning lessons, taking time out to think through what's happened, what's gone on. It might be good, it might not be good, but actually to take whatever learning you can out of the experiences that you have in life. There's two aspects to that. One is in a sense of resilience, so that you're learning those lessons so that you can apply them in future, so that you can be more resilient, so that you can approach things in a way that's better for you going forward. But also in terms of understanding yourself and finding perspective on things and being able to kind of come at things in a different way through that. Finally, I think this is a really key point, self-belief. How do you find that self-belief to kind of ignore the naysayers, not let their voices kind of take over and drive your decision-making, whether that's around your life generally or around your career? Actually learning to listen to yourself, what you need and what you want and how you want to live your life. And, you know, I think that relates to kind of what Caroline was also saying about personal responsibility and taking responsibility for the choices that you make and how important that is. So lots to take away from that, lots to reflect on. And I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I will drop the reference and the links for the book recommendation from Viola Davis into the show notes. So if you want to look that up, then do. Take care and speak to you again next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of Frustrated and Exhausted. Hit the follow button for future episodes. You can also follow me on Instagram at Resonate Leadership and LinkedIn at Ruth Alexandra Wood. I'd absolutely love to hear from you. Frustrated and Exhausted is brought to you by Resonate Leadership and the wonderful team at the Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Ruth Wood. Take care and speak to you soon.